left off talking about how God leave these living bricks. Now, still talking about this prophetic generation. And, you know, we had the example of Mary, how she received the word. And upon receiving the word, you know, she said, you know, be it unto me even as it has been spoken. And that the very thing that had been spoken by the prophets, now all of a sudden, you know, this prophetic, Mary is walking in it. So we said that this generation, this finishing generation, is going to walk the talk. The very thing that's been spoken, we're going to walk in it. So God has to do a work in us. And this is the thing that has really hurt a lot of people who they were good people, you know, loved God, but they just could not get in a place where they allowed somebody to really pour into them and really to minister to them and to really, you know, bring them in check about some things that's in their life and that kind of thing and stuff. Sometimes, you know, some people can get so super spiritual till they say, you know, well, you know, the Lord had to speak that to me, you know, so they really own earth, but they live like they in heaven. You know what I'm saying? Like the Lord is the only one that's supposed to speak something to them. So he talks about the builders or apostolic pastors who have received a mandate and the blueprints to build accurately a house that cannot be shaken or taken. Those who are building accurately according to the apostolic blueprints will see an influx of people and a supernatural harvest. So many of these pastors and leaders have been enticed to build big and build quick. And I like to use, you know, illustration. I did cement finishing contractor for a long time. And so in building, you cannot build a building that's going to be, let's say, that's going to be 10 or 12 stories the same way that you build a building that's going to be one story. Whenever you're building a building that's going to be higher, you have to dig deeper. And so I worked at poured concrete. I poured two buildings. We poured this building, and the footing, I mean, man, we had to get a ladder to get down in the ground to get down in order to pour the foundation. So the foundation, I mean, the actual foundation where it started at was way down in the ground. So we had to get down there and stuff. And then once, you know, we poured it, I mean, it was, the concrete was so thick. I mean, if you fell through it, you know, it'll be way over your head. And so, but for a one story, all you would need is 24 inches. That's all the concrete you would need for that. So now a person can build, they could build a 10-story building on that with that 24 inches, but it couldn't stand. If any kind of storm come, it couldn't stand. And so the same way, many people, they want it quick. They want it to happen for them quick. You understand what I'm saying? So they really, the foundation have to be dug first. In other words, this is what I'm saying. Many times people look at their lives and they compare themselves to other people. And you're never supposed to catch. The Bible said those that compare themselves with others are not wise. So we're never supposed to compare ourselves with other people. But what happens is when you compare yourself with the other folk, then that's time you'll be looking at yourself in ministry and you feel like, you know, I see these people over there, something is happening with them. God's using them. Why God is not doing anything with me? You know, what is going on? What's happening? And so not realizing that those persons only are building a one-story building. What God's going to use them to do it's only going to be a one story. And what God's going to use you to do is 15 stories. So you got to go down before you go up. You're going to have to, you got to go deep. There's times when, I'm going to show you a scripture. Look at Luke. Look at Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse. I'm going to start at, you know, they were talking about, you know, how a tree is known by the fruit it bears in verse 44. You know, then, you know, it talks about, you know, good out of a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, bringing forth good things. But I want you to look at what it says there in verse 48. It says verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and does not is like a man without a foundation building a house upon the earth, against the which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So we can't get in a rush. See, that's why it takes a while for a pastor to build people. You understand what I'm saying? To build them, because there are some things in us that God is going to have to get out of us if he's going to use us. You understand what I'm saying? We are this prophetic generation that's been spoken of, and we've got to understand that. Amen. I've got to be patient and allow myself to, I'm not going to be looking over at somebody else who maybe look like they're doing something, but God's got something greater for me. But I'm getting impatient. And so now I'm not letting God continue to do in me what he needs to do in me, because, amen, I see somebody else out way ahead of me. It's not about somebody being out ahead of me. It's about me being in a place where God has placed me. And for me to be patient and wait on God, because, amen, what God has already purposed for my life is coming to pass. So I don't have to get in a rush. I don't have to, you understand? This is what happens in many places. Many places, and Apostle talks about this. Many times folk try to put a guilt trip on the man of God like they're holding them back. No. See, nobody can hold you back. Whenever the hand of God is upon you, nobody can hold you back. You have to just get in a position where God can continue to build you, and you continue. I believe the digging part is, amen, a person who spends much time in prayer, much time in the Word, much time really seeking God. I believe like this. I believe that we ought to be in hot pursuit of God. We ought to be in hot pursuit of the will of God, what God is trying to do in our life. I believe we ought to be in hot pursuit at all times. But when we force growth and choose abnormal growth, we run the risk of having the flesh. Y'all with me? And ultimately, demonic spirits house in that which we are building. Demonic spirits wind up. When we start doing something that's not the will of God, but I'm doing, let me tell you something that I found out. A lot of things that folk are doing, really, they're not depending on the supernatural to do it. They're doing it all you got to do is just get you a good plan together and, discipline yourself the right way and, get some people to commit to funding a building and that kind of thing. I had somebody come up to me last night, a person that was visiting the church, came to me last night, and he was telling me that they had came from a church where, the pastor, he was in a hurry. He was trying to impress somebody with a building. you know, he wanted to build his building. So he said, I tried to tell my pastor, Pastor, you know, is God saying that it's time for us to do this? Or is this just, and he was somebody that was close to the pastor. And say the pastor told him, say, well, we're going to do it. And God will take care of it. But God is not just going to take care of something just because we do it. And so the man wound up losing the church. Wound up losing the church and really his ministry and everything. Why? Because he was trying to do something so quick to impress folk. You can't worry about it. We're trying to impress folk because God got so much stuff he's trying to do in us, in and through us. So those who have been holding on to the truth and the conviction of the Holy Spirit will not lose out on the best that God has for them. I'm going to say it again. Those who have been holding out to the truth and the conviction of the Holy Spirit will not lose out. All right, Lord, thank you. A lot of times what happens is folks think that they've arrived and they haven't arrived. You know, you can think that, okay, it may take you this long, but it's not going to take me this long because I feel like I got something that you don't have. And when you do that, you run the risk of jumping ahead of God. And then when you jump ahead of God, guess what? If you make it happen, you're going to have to be the one to sustain it. So there ain't no sense in, see, this is what has been happening to Christians. That's why this finishing generation is different from anything that has ever been on the earth before. Because this finishing generation, amen, they're not going to God saying, God, here go my plan, could you bless it? This finishing generation is saying to God, God, what is your plan for my life? Let me have your plan. Because guess what? God's plan's already blessed. The plan that we have, we asking God to bless. God can bless it to a certain extent, but it's not his will, and God cannot really put his stamp of approval on it. Don't tell nobody this, but say this to yourself. Say, I'm just different. I'm just different. I'm just different. You need to tell yourself, I'm just different. I am not going to follow the same pattern that's been going on down through the centuries. So those who have become prey to the enemy because they have chosen not to compromise with kingdom values of honor. Are y'all listening? See, this is one of the things that you have to be careful of. You have to be careful when God places you under somebody. Amen. You don't allow the enemy to cause you to dishonor them. You have to understand that, amen, honor is a kingdom value. Integrity. Telling somebody, whatever you tell somebody you're going to do, you ought to do it. You know, I was talking to somebody and the other day. They had told me they was going to do something. And so I said, I waited on you all day. You know, you said you was going. He said, well, I had something came up to me. It came up. I said, well, you know, they have telephones. Well, you can call. Watch this. We're not God, so we don't know what's going to come up from one minute to the next, right? But if we give somebody our word about something, then we need to, if something changed, we need to call them and let them know it changed. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Let's just say I had a man borrow some money from me one time. And so this is what he did. He borrowed the money from me. And so he said, I'm gonna have your money back by Friday. I said, okay. So when Friday came, he didn't bring the money to me. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if he'd have said 2 weeks, then I would have been looking for 2 weeks. We said, I'm gonna bring it Friday. So when Friday came, he didn't say anything. So I saw him that Sunday. I said, what happened to you Friday? He said, oh, man. He said, I had some unexpected bills that came up. He said, and I couldn't bring you the money. I said, well, let me share something with you. That money that you borrowed from me was mine. And so no matter what came up, the thing to do was to come to me and say that Friday and say, look, I have your money. Say, look, I have something that came up. Is it all right that I take your money and pay this bill? Then, amen, at least you give me the opportunity, you understand, to allow you to do it and not you just take an opportunity. That's not integrity. That is no integrity. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of times, there's a lot of folk who walk like that and they have no kind of conscious I mean, man, all you, I said, look, this is what I'm gonna do. I said, I don't know what you have to do to get my money. I said, but you know, I want you to have my money by the next day, Monday. You have my money by Monday. Now that might seem kind of mean, but I want to show him that was not, once you borrowed it from me and you told me that you're gonna give it to me that Friday, that was not your money. That was not your money. So look, you just go ahead on and find, you gonna make a way, the other folk you were gonna pay, and you bring me the money that you were gonna pay them to replace the money that was mine. We got to have integrity. We got to have integrity. See, God, this is what we've got to understand. This finishing generation, man. Listen at the heart of the apostle when he's talking, when he's sharing with us about, you know, the revelation that God originally gave him. You know, people brought money and they brought it on the steps. A lot of folk wouldn't do that because they worry about what folk would say. But when you got integrity and God, and you see this is one thing. Your conscience has to be pure before God. And when your conscience is pure before God, you have no, you don't stand back worried about what somebody's going to say or how they're going to take it and that kind of thing and stuff, because the Lord has already said, especially, you know, when you got a track record, your track record is proven. And so this finishing generation, man, we're going to walk a place that a lot of folk had never walked before, that's been in ministry for many years. And this is why God has set up the school for years. I graduated from the school back in 94. And man, let me tell y'all something. From 94 to now, my God, if I had known back in 94, amen, what we learning now, oh man, you understand? Part of the world already be turned upside down. Because these things, we have to make sure that we are absolutely walking in honor and respect and accountability. That's another thing, accountability. A lot of folk don't want to be accountable. See, all these things, man, all these things, what it does is it bring you to a place where you are not full of yourself. Not full of myself. I can be accountable to somebody. So we need to, the enemy will attack us because we've chosen not to compromise these values. These are values that we have to walk in this. We got to walk in it. And guess what? God's going to reward you for it. There are many, make sure I don't want to make sure my time right. There are many people who plan all kind of games. I've had folk. I had a man told me, say, look, man, I need you to come preach for me. I got a church. We just bought a church and we having a dedication, and I want you to come preach for me. And so I told him, I said, okay, I'll come and preach for you. Came, brought the church. It's been many years ago. Came, brought the church. And then, you know, gave him a large offering. And so I came to find out some months later, the man never bought the church. The man was renting a church. And so when I found out, I said, well, wait a minute. I thought you said that y'all had purchased the church. He said, well, first I knew, we thought, oh, man, how in the world you going to think you don't a person purchase the church? But that's the kind of games that's been played. You all need to know that there's many games that's being played out there before you talking about I'm ready to do this. You better know that this got some shysters out there. They got some cutthroats out there. They got some folk out there that ain't thinking about listening to God. All they doing is thinking about is manipulating folk, amen, and lining their own pockets. That's all they thinking about. So, you know, I said, well, since you didn't buy the church, what y'all going to do? Because I'm trying to see whether or not, you know, you gonna give us our check back. Well, if you're not buying a church with it, and what you told us you was gonna do, there's no way in the world, man. That's manipulation. That's manipulation, and that's what a lot of people are doing. One of the things that when I first started following the apostle back in 97, he told me, he said, now, son, let me tell you something. He told me, he said, now, you're not going to be running no women, and you're not going to be playing no money games. That's what he told me straight out there. I said, man. And then he told me, he said, and you got a good looking wife. And so if I hear you messing around, he said, I'm going to break both of your legs. Hallelujah. So even if a woman look at me with eyes, my legs start hurting. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know, I knew I had to have somebody in my life that I could be accountable to. You understand what I'm saying? Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with being accountable. Accountable. It's for your protection. Being accountable. You understand what I'm saying? Let me see. I got a few more minutes. I got 5 more minutes. I want to get to. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now. So. The condition in the temple and its priesthood are about to see drastic changes. We welcome the apostolic invasion of God into his church. It is his sovereign coming into the temple that will cause the new generation to be revealed. It is his coming into the church that will cleanse the leadership. See, that's what's got to happen. And bring about acceptance and wholeness among the people. Now, Malachi talks about this refiner's fire. And what he's talking about, God's going to cleanse the leadership because the people are never going to be able to get to where they need to be if the leaders are corrupt. So now, watch this. He started talking about silver being purified. So now, whenever gold is purified, this is the process of gold being purified. Now, gold is never really found in a pure state. Whenever gold is discovered or found, it's never in a pure state. Now, if you got gold on, guess what? It's not pure. It's not pure. You might think it is. That's why I got 10 carats. You got 14 carat, 18 carat, 24 carat. The more the carat, the more gold in it. Now, this is the process. So they have zinc, they have copper, they have these other metals in there. So what they have to do is, in order to get the gold, get pure gold, what they have to do is they have to ground that gold to powder. And then they put a substance in there called flux. And what the flux does, when they put the flux in there, after it's ground up, then they put it in an intense furnace. And then what happens is it melts. And so the gold, which is heavy, it goes to the bottom. And then the other metals, they float to the top with the flux. So now what happens is it separates, the gold is separated from the impurities. All right. Now, although you can see this bracelet on my arm is gold. You can't see the impurities in there, but they're in there. Are y'all with me? So the process that God used to process us is like gold. God has to process us. God allow us to go through trials, go through tests, go through tribulations. Are y'all with me here? We don't like it. Amen. You know, it's like we in this intense heat. You understand what I'm saying? Because God want to get the gold out of us. The only way he can do it, we have to be put in a situation just like gold is refined. And so whenever we're put in a situation, you ever been into something and you ever gone through something and all of a sudden you just become like a junkyard dog. You mean as you know, you snapping at everything. You understand what I'm saying? You just mad, you know, every little thing, you know, you snapping and you wonder why. But whenever you're going through the trials, it's because God is purifying you. And so the only thing, though, now, God, you're going to have to recognize that them old ways are yours when they rise to the top. Yeah. Okay, amen. I'm snapping at people. I'm biting people's head off. That's what God's trying to get out of you. That's the thing that God's trying to, amen. When somebody say the wrong thing to you, you want to cuss them out. God said, that's the impurity that I'm trying to get out of. Because if I'm going to use you, those things got to go. Y'all with me? Those things got to go. So We have to put ourselves in a position to allow God, amen, to purify us. Then once we recognize the impurities, we're the ones that's going to have to ask God, Lord, I need your help. Because, amen, the impurities have to be scraped off the top. Are y'all with me? So the gold can remain. And the only way God's going to be able to use folk, you got to have a pure heart. Your heart's got to be pure. So the only way God can get the pureness of your heart is got to be refined. Got to be refined. So this is what God is doing, amen, through leadership and that kind of thing. He's doing it to them so that the people recognize that, amen, I can't do this on my own. I got to make sure that my heart's right in order for me to accomplish what God needs me to accomplish. Y'all with me? So the next, we going to chapter 2 next week. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's all the time we got for tonight. Glory to God. Whew. Glory, glory, glory.